Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
We are continuing our series in The Familiar Stranger this morning, looking at redemptive suffering. Being Mother's Day, redemptive suffering and Mother's Day weren't necessarily two easy subjects to meld together, so I'm going to give it my best shot. One of the strange things about life is that some of the most important things that we experience are often things that cost us the most. Think about the things that really matter. Learning something new can be frustrating before it becomes rewarding. Training for something demanding can be exhausting before it's satisfying. And loving someone deeply makes us vulnerable in ways that we had not expected. The things that bring us the greatest joy often involve some kind of cost. And nowhere is that more obvious than in the love that we have for people. Parents tend to discover this quickly. When a child first arrives, people act as if you've just been handed an instruction manual. Health visitors turn up waving leaflets, and friends give you advice, and people give you books titled 10 Simple Steps to Perfect Parenting. You start to suspect somewhere along the way that you've missed the handbook. And of course, there isn't one. There is just this tiny human who depends on you for everything. And just when you think that you might be starting to get the hang of things, life throws you a curveball. Because sometimes parenting doesn't turn out to be as easy as you thought. For us, that came with Lucas. When you have a child with additional needs, you very quickly begin to realize that all those reassuring parenting guides don't quite cover your situation. The tidy little chapters about sleep routines and behavioural charts become theoretical. Instead, you find yourself learning a completely new way of parenting. You celebrate things that other parents take for granted. You learn patience that you never thought you had. But in the middle of it all, you realise that the deeper the love, the more vulnerable the heart becomes, and that your heart stretches far further than you ever thought imaginable. Someone once said that having children is like having your heart walk around outside your body. I think that's exactly right. When you love deeply, our heart is exposed. And that brings us to Mary in our gospel reading today. Mary and Joseph bring the baby Jesus to the temple. This should be one of the most joyful and proud parent moments that they would have. They're presenting their child to God. And an old man called Simeon takes the baby in his arms and praises God, and then says to Mary, "A sword will pierce your soul too." It's not the sort of thing that you want to hear when you're holding your newborn baby in your arms. Imagine hearing it. Mary already knows that this child is special, but now she learns that loving him will involve deep pain. In many ways, that moment in the temple is the first shadow of the Passion of Christ. Long before the cross is built, long before the crowds gather in Jerusalem, the shadow of the cross is already falling on this young mother's life. Mary is beginning that journey that will one day end with her standing at the foot of the cross, watching the son that she loves suffer. A sword would pierce her soul, and yet she never stops loving him. She never stops standing with him. And that brings us to one of those big questions of life. Why is there suffering? It's one of the hardest questions to ask and one of the hardest to answer, because suffering can so often feel meaningless. Pain can feel pointless. But our Christian faith tells us something different. In our chapter of redemptive suffering from The Familiar Stranger, the author reminds us that God does not stand far away from our suffering, but in fact, he enters it. And God transforms it. The cross shows us that the Christian faith does not say that suffering is good. Pain is not something that God enjoys. Illness or grief or injustice or loss, these are not things that God delights in. But God can take suffering and redeem it. He can take the very worst things that happen and bring life out of them. And that's what happens at the cross. What looks like failure becomes victory. What looks like death becomes resurrection. And what looks like the end is in fact the beginning of the salvation of the world. That is redemptive suffering. Not suffering for its own sake, but that in God's hands, suffering becomes life-giving. A few weeks ago, Max and Joe and I were at the New Wine Conference, and one of the leaders was saying something that I haven't forgotten. He reminded us that the word passion actually comes from the Latin word pati, I think that's how you say it, which means to suffer. Now, we've lost the slide. It's interesting because when we talk about passion today, we often think about it meaning enthusiasm or excitement. We're passionate about our work or about a hobby or a football team. But originally, the word meant something much deeper. It meant being willing to suffer for something that you love. And it's one of the reasons, or maybe the only reason, that the story of Jesus' suffering and crucifixion is called the Passion of Christ. Because it's the place where Jesus shows his depth of love for the world. A love that's willing to endure rejection, suffering, and even death. It's a particular kind of love. The speaker at the conference called it agape. Agape love is not simple emotional love, but it's unconditional, sacrificial and voluntary love. Love that is chosen even when it costs. And once you start looking for that love, you see glimpses of it everywhere. You see it in parents who sacrifice sleep and energy and time so their children can flourish. But you see it in carers who quietly give their lives caring for others. You see it in people who endure hardship and somehow come out of it with a deeper compassion and kindness for others. And of course, there are thousands more examples that we could give where we see glimpses of this unconditional sacrificial love. Sometimes the most life-giving love in the world looks like sacrifice. And Mothering Sunday reminds us that mothers often show us exactly that kind of love. Not glamorous, but quiet, present, and everyday love that keeps going even when it's hard. In our reading from Romans this morning, Paul says something quite remarkable. He says that creation is groaning, that the world is not as it should be. There is pain and brokenness everywhere that we look. And he describes that groaning to the pains of childbirth. Now, I can speak with at least a little authority on that. I can testify that childbirth is painful, that it can be long, very long. And there are moments when you genuinely wonder whether it's ever going to end. And yet, the pain is not pointless. It leads somewhere. It leads to life. It leads to that extraordinary moment when suddenly there is a baby in your arms and everything has changed. And Paul says that the world is like that. That creation is groaning, but it is the groaning of something new being born. That God is bringing about something new. One of the things that struck me when reading that chapter in The Familiar Stranger is how he describes the work of the Holy Spirit. We as Christians talk about the Spirit. We imagine dramatic things. We imagine powerful prayers and miracles and moments of victory. And of course, they are all there. But in Romans, Paul says simply that the Spirit groans. not sings triumphantly, not shouts loudly, but groans. It's a very human sound. It's the sound that we make when life is heavy, when we're exhausted, when we don't have any words left to pray. And in those moments, Paul says that the Spirit is groaning alongside us. God is not distant from our suffering. God is present in it. And that's why our suffering in the hands of God can become redemptive, because we never carry it alone. Which brings us back to Mothering Sunday. One of the reasons that motherhood is such a powerful image is because mothers often show us what that sacrificial love looks like. The quiet sacrifices, the unseen prayers, the late nights, the endless encouragement. Most of these things happen quietly and unnoticed, and yet they shape our lives. Of course, that kind of love is not only shown by mothers. In our house, my husband Chris has given up a great deal so that our son Lucas can be home educated. He has set aside career opportunities, freedom, and a great deal of time and energy in order to do what's best for our son. And Chris, I know, is certainly not the only father or grandparent or family member or friend to make a kind of sacrifice like that. So Mothering Sunday reminds us that nurturing love is something that many people share. Not just mothers, but anyone who chooses to put the needs of another person before their own. Perhaps that is something that many parents discover along the way, that loving a child or loving somebody stretches you. It stretches your patience, it stretches your courage, it stretches your prayers. Sometimes beautifully, sometimes painfully, sometimes at 3 a.m. But through it, we discover that love costs something is often the love that gives the most life. Mary heard Simeon say that a sword would pierce her heart too, and it did. But this story does not end at the cross. Through Jesus, God brought resurrection. Through suffering came redemption, and through death came life. And Paul says that creation is groaning like a woman in childbirth. An image that reminds us that the pain is not always the end of the story, and that God is bringing about a new creation. Suffering does not have the final word. So this morning we give thanks. We give thanks for mothers, for those who have nurtured us, for those who have loved us with patience and kindness and courage and sacrifice. And we remember that the love that we see reflected in them points to the greatest love of all, the love of Christ, who walks with us through our suffering, who redeems us even in our darkest moments, and who promises that one day all creation will be made new. Amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.